just said, yeah, the committee can collaborate and come up with something. That's all I was going to chime in. It seems fair. Everything you just said, I can understand all that. So I was just acknowledging what you said, that we should work on something. That's all.
I was going to say that same thing, this Brady, along with say that I think there definitely should be something in place for every operator to have an opportunity to, quote unquote, have a paid vacation of some sort, but like you said, maybe on more of a sliding scale instead of a flat rate, so to speak, and figure out something that's a little bit more fair to the operations that are currently going on. And as to the regulations, I just wanted to say that I noticed that's on the agenda too, but we've also made some requests for changes in those regulations regarding this, I believe, like a year, 2 years ago and stuff like that. So maybe that we can also talk about in another meeting too, yep, that might align with this as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you, Brandy. Yes, those adjustments or amendments requests, are being viewed, and we'll talk about that update when I get there. But yeah, no, I agree. I thank you guys for the consideration, because I think it just, like I said, I don't want to remove it. Certainly, I'm not trying to affect anything. I just want to do things in a manner that is transparent and makes sense in case I'm ever questioned, or our program is ever a question. I can be confident in a response to that supports logical sense. So, that's good. Next, state employee telework allowance update. Obviously, this isn't great news by any stretch of the imagination. Unfortunately, state employees are continuing receiving the allowance of telework. This seems to be what now seems to be the norm of every 6 months. This is being offered, and I assume the 6 month periods are to, kind of ensure that existing employees are maintaining their roles and responsibilities, or don't have a need to adjust their schedules for the following 6 months. So I think we have to look at telework as something that's here to stay. And so with that, I think, this is the reason why I think 2023 is going to be big, and why I'm going to look to kind of push everyone to their max in ensuring that we are maximizing opportunities to the best of our ability. So I think we have to consider this to be a norm moving forward. But I think there's a lot of things that we can do within these opportunities that could potentially increase opportunities. So I just wanted to update you all to let you know that state government is looking to resume telework for the next 6 months, January to June 2023. So, moving along, operator profit average sale increase challenge. Now that we are, here in the sense of what we could consider norm, I want to challenge each and every one of you to come up with ideas to work with your field reps to increase your business. And with those ideas, not so much verbalized, I need to see it in writing. So my expectations moving forward in the beginning of this year is to get weekly reports from the field reps as to what actions are being made or attempted to increase business opportunities. And this needs to not be on the role and responsibility of the field reps. This needs to be a mutual agreement, a mutual decision, a mutual thought process to ensuring that every possible option and opportunity and direction is being thought of. Operations that are going through teaming partnerships, reach out to your teaming partner, see what they suggest. This is the norm. I'm not even, honestly, I don't even anticipate using the word COVID anymore in 2023. This is where we are. This is where your facility is. If it happens to grow, that's a blessing. But I think your mind by now needs to understand that this is what you have. And so what you have can definitely be increased with no question. And so our goal is to make sure that we see that increase. So I want to you know, challenge each and every one of you to try to bring your business up at least 10% from last year's average. I think it can be done. I don't think 10% is a rocket number, and I'm going to be paying close attention to these numbers while also working closely with the field reps as well to ensure that we are trying our best in support to increase your business. And if that's not being evaluated, then I want to hear about it from any operator who doesn't feel as though they're getting the maximum assistance with trying to grow their business. Again, we have a new director. She's big on accountability, so therefore I have to be the same. And so with that, I think it's a win-win for all of us when we tighten up and make sure we're doing everything that we can to support you as an operator in this program. So that's my challenge to you guys. And when I see these increases, I'm going to acknowledge them. I'm going to acknowledge them in public light, because I think by acknowledging these increases, and I'm going to look for you guys that have shown your facilities increase, to speak on what you did, to speak on amongst everyone, in whether it's a quarterly meeting or annual meeting, whatever the case may be. I'm going to give you time to speak on it. When I identify the increase, I want you to speak up about it, because it's important, and I don't want anyone retaining valuable information that could support a fellow colleague. So let's go for it. Let's, you know what I mean? I definitely believe. And even in the coming years, I got to be honest with you, I find myself in the office a little bit more than just my normal once a week telework. So I do believe people are somewhat going in the offices a little bit more, but that doesn't mean that that's predicated on increasing your business. What's predicated on increasing your business is making sure that you're maximizing your opportunity. I do have something also in mind that I'm not going to share yet, because I want to make sure I get the appropriate approvals and information that could be of support to some of the micro markets in our program. So I'm working on some things behind the scenes that hopefully may pan out and become an offering that I believe would boost your business a bit. So let me keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want to be on the call and not get to where I want it to go. So I'll be back in regards to that. Okay, so we can talk about that. Regulations update. As many of you know, so yes, I received the, obviously we're going on year two, the subcommittee's regulations for review. Andrew and I are still reviewing these regulations. I'm lucky enough that Andrew was granted a 120 extension. He will be with our agency for quite a bit longer. Our agency attorney is actually retired, so we are looking for an agency attorney in replacement. So all things happen for a reason, and now we have a new director. So my hope is to have a final draft back to you guys to view by February, so we can talk about it. And hopefully have our new attorney in position as well, should that, you know, reach that level of review before, you know, we take any other further steps. Of course, we want RSA to possibly review if they should choose. And, well, not so much RSA, because that's on a federal level, but NFB, we can, you know, share that with them and make sure that it seems favorable on both sides, or it's not favorable on either side, but makes logical sense. And it's, you know, what's important, because we haven't had these regulations changed forever, is that you want to use language, words, buzzwords, as we would say in interviews. You want to use buzzwords that stand the test of time, right? Because again, you know, sharing these regulations with Carol, she says, "Oh yeah, your regs are outdated," because there's just simple words, you know, that like newspaper stand, you know what I mean? That just like, it just sounds old. So we're trying to create something that will literally stand the test of time and make sense, and never have to regret that the process. process that it takes to getting regulations approved, it's necessary to do a back-to-back amendment off of that. So we are moving forward with them. We're also reviewing other states who have shared their regulations, again, just to pull the good things out, you know, whether it's good for you, good for the agency, but we want to have a strong regulation that is simplistic, clean, and is favorable to running a program. So that's the goal. When we talk about operators' retirement and transition, many of you may or may not know, but Lloyd Montague has retired. Tony Ford has elected to accept his location as a piggyback to his 55 Farmington location through promotion and transfer opportunity. So Tony has started operating that December 1st, and you know, so that's, it's, you know, it's bittersweet when you have operators that have been in the program for so long. Are moving on to other things in their lives. So certainly we wish Lloyd the best, and like I said, Tony's operating that location for now. It's not for now, it's a permanent, because again, the goal is to boost your guys' incomes the best way we can within the parameters that we're able to. So the time is now, no question. If there's piggyback opportunity, we will continue to go through the promotion and transfer list accordingly, in hopes that it builds your opportunities, you know, gives you, if you should be able to obviously juggle both facility operations. We knew this day was coming, that that we would need to start pairing locations to give people the best opportunity they can have financially. So that's what we're doing. I know it's not. Yep. Go ahead.
I have a quick question on that. I mean, congratulations to Tony Ford. I'm glad he was able to boost his income. What do you foresee? I mean, I technically have three locations, but none of them are being used through a partnership, so I would hope that would be looked at a little differently. But as pairing comes down the hill, and Tony Ford is at the hill, he's been here all the years to do it, what do you foresee as far as the next pairing opportunity? Can Tony just continue to take five pairing? What's the fair thing? Shouldn't we have something
place? Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely think so. You know, for Tony just having one facility, it was obviously a no-brainer to give him the second one. As you stated, you have three. So, yes, we have to put a parameter and limitation. Do I foresee Tony being able to just keep? No, absolutely not. I would say right now, if Tony's taking this location, he obviously has to wait out. He'd have to stay at this location for a year, just as normal, you know, rules of being able to take a new facility. Well, 6 months, assuring that he meets the temporary agreement period before it becomes his. But when we're talking about the next opportunity, and Frank, you are a unique situation, and we're talking about fairness, I would say when that next situation comes, we would have to see when that next situation comes. If it comes now, then Tony wouldn't be eligible, and so I probably would be stopping to you, and then you and I would have to have that conversation as to, you know, based off of our, I would say, the dollar amount and your ability to you know, provide service, what's fair. So because this is something that's not in the rules and regulations, this is something that I would have to say needs to be logically thought through and accepted in the sense that provides equal opportunity of future benefit before we, you know, yay or nay that situation. So it's really case by case. I know we do have a couple of possible routes coming up that I will be sending out off the federal route. And again, I have to see who draws interest, and then we'll see from there how we proceed. Brandy, I see your hands up.
So I was just wondering if that then means somebody could piggyback with the New Britain Courthouse and or the Bridgeport Hospital, I believe you said it was. So if somebody has a Micromart or something else right now, they could pick up that other site and piggyback it. Like you just said, obviously if they're capable, they have the time, so on and so forth. But if someone's running a Micromart with a partner, they can still meet their obligation to the Micromart and pick up New Britain Courthouse, correct?
Absolutely. You know what makes this weird? You know why this feels weird? Frank, you asked the question? Is because we work off of a seniority base. In other states, you would get the opportunity based off your qualifications and your interests. So that's a big piece that I'm working on and with these regulations to change. Because the seniority makes absolutely no sense when we're talking about providing multiple opportunities. I mean, we can do it, but we just have to do it in a manner that is accepted and understood. So to your point, Brandy, I would absolutely love anyone on this call in our program to take a New Britain and run it, as long as they're capable of doing it. And when I say capable, not just being there, but being able to give their best at both locations. If you're capable of doing that, you most certainly, because as of now, today's call should have been waiving those locations. So the fact that, I'm trying my best to retain them, I have absolutely no opposition of an operator in good standing, operating any manner of operation, who wants to potentially try a new opportunity or resume an opportunity that they're familiar with. No opposition. Since we're talking about just facilities and so forth, I'll just give you guys a quick heads up. I am going to be sending out, and I will be descriptive in the email, so I don't have the information directly in front of me, but yes, as many of you know, our federal guidance came down that we were to forward all vending machines on federal properties as income directly to operators if they're not operating on those federal properties. And in doing so, as many of you know, we have created two vending routes, and there were remaining vending machines left on the list of assets to provide to you all. And so in reviewing that, I did pose the question to RSA in regards to our potential ability to be able to split these up individually per se and provide them as individual opportunities. And RSA made it very clear that we, the agency, should not administer any funds received from federal. First of all, we should not be receiving any of these federal funds, and secondly, cannot administer these funds to you all. So therefore, these funds would have to be directly paid through by your federal site that would either be overseen, in this case, by the teaming partner. So with that being said, it's a complete administrative burden, number one, to ask a third-party company to take on individual payments for operators that wanted to pick and choose locations. It just isn't possible. So what we did was we went back to the drawing board and kind of calculated the annual revenue of these remaining machines, and have come up with two vending routes that support two areas within the state that may appeal. It may appeal to existing operators, and if it doesn't, then I'll extend this to obviously outside VR to see if anyone has interest in that. And if there isn't any there, then I'll have to go back to RSA and see what we can do in the meantime. The one thing that RSA made very clear is that if these funds are unable, or this business opportunity is unable to be supported essentially by our program, basically no interest, we would essentially have to forfeit these dollars or these assets to a third-party company in turn receive a smaller commission than what we're receiving now through our partnership back to the agency. That information is a bit gray in a sense, however, and so for that, I'm hoping that we don't have to go down that path, because we want to keep these dollars in our program one way or another, whether it goes directly and in turn. That's our first option of thought, is to give the dollars directly to an operator. But be a benefit to our program, and I think we may be able to get some one or two people interested in this route. So I'll be sending that out in the next week or so, with the startup of, well, hoping for startup of in January. So we will see. The one thing that we also have to remember too, when we talk about rules and following them and staying within the laws, our program operates under two sets of regulations, federal and state. You know, I know that there's the thought that what we're doing on the federal side could potentially be done on the state side. Unfortunately, when we're talking about cutting out vending opportunities on the state side, we can't do it. We can't do it for the fact that we signed a 5-year contract with our partner. And with that partner expects this opportunity to be exactly what they signed on to. The fact that we just had to double back with our partner and explain that federal law came down on us and required us to make this amendment and ask that this our third-party company administer payments was a big ask, because everyone is hurting. You know, Pepsi's hurting with their employees. Servo Nation's hurting with shortage of their employees. Everyone's hurting in the world of employees. So anytime we cut off our existing contract, we are asking our partner to do something that they didn't sign at the dotted line anticipate doing. So we have to tread very lightly when we, curate these opportunities off of our existing contract. Now, with that being said, maybe this will somewhat answer the other side of what we can't do on the state side. So me mentioning that we can't carve out vending locations off of our statewide contract, that is true. However, should a building in which we support reach out to us and ask for something above and beyond, such as a micro market, at that point, because we operate under the authority of, that's how our program operates, that's what regulations state, that's the law, that's the only time in which we can go to our third party and say, it is now necessary that we remove these assets from this block of business, our contractual block of business, because the building authority in which we provide service to is asking for something above and beyond vending. So at that point, if there's any assets in vending, that could now be a created opportunity for an operator, because they understand that, and that's just within that's within our terms of agreement, is that anything above and beyond, we have to provide that, or they can go elsewhere. So there is that glimpse of chance that we can, alter our existing statewide contract, but it would only be for a situation that calls for above and beyond the vending opportunity. So if they ask for micro market, then yeah, we would be able to, create that as an opportunity, in which in turn could potentially be a piggyback to existing operators or a new opportunity to someone from the outside, or a transfer of promotion, our typical process. So
great guys, the same thing for two things.
Yep.
One, touching on the federal, I remember when we created the first two routes, you said there really was, we created these routes because other than that, there just wasn't much worthy of creating routes with left. So obviously you probably grouped together as best you could to create what you're going to release. Now, would these be primary locations or strictly to boost current operators?
I think respectfully, and again, because we are now in a world that you know, that we're trying to figure out. I think if these opportunities exceed the current main operations of any operator, I would ask and hope that that operator would take that location, you know, as a, in lieu of, let's say, of what they currently have, and then leaving that in lieu of operation to then again come back around as a secondary option if that in lieu of operation isn't making more than someone else's. So I think we have to just do it in a way where you're giving someone who has an existing operation that may not make that dollar amount but is on promotion to transfer that first opportunity, right? Like, I think that's fair. And then if they accept that, then their secondary one would in turn, because it's a different situation, it's not the Tony Ford situation, it's a different situation where this opportunity is second. And I know what Tony's situation, I know what that income is, and so I know that that wouldn't have done, I just know. So what I'm saying is, I think we would do it in a manner that is fair to ensure. And if again, if that number doesn't appeal, or if it doesn't draw anyone's interest down promotion to transfer, and I'll say this to you, Frank. So you have three locations. We go down this promotion transfer, what have you, you know, whatever, you don't want it, no one else wants a promotion transfer, I'm going to VR, no one wants it, but I have an operator that says, you know what, if absolutely no one wants it, I'll take it, it's theirs, and I don't care where they, where they're placed at on it, because at the end of the day, I want people that want to work, I want people that want to maximize the opportunities our program has to offer, and I get it, you know, it's, everything isn't for everyone, and I don't expect everyone to jump at everything. But I hate to lose opportunities. I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves, is losing opportunities. So I'm hopeful that, you know, this appeals to someone, and we'll see. You know, we may have to catch a special meeting and figure it out, talk about it. You know, I'm game to collectively brainstorm and you know, sway on what's fair. So.
The second part of my question was, after you've made the statement about if a building asks for it, so my question would be, if they're not technically asking for a micro market, it would technically be unethical for us to solicit to a building, hey, you want more than vending? We can do this.
Yes. I would say yes. You're absolutely right. It is unethical because, you know, when like a Pepsi, they're a partner, when they bid on this, and Frank, you were part of the negotiation team, when they bid on this contract, they bid on the expectation of a certain amount of assets. You know, because they gave a lot. You know, they put $1 million out there in vending equipment. You know, they have several individuals that oversee the administration on their end of the contract. So, you know, it is unethical for sure to offer anything above and beyond. Everywhere that we're in, just about, we are maintaining, we conduct audits. Tracy is, you know, obviously out there maintaining our established relationships with our, the agencies and the buildings that we provide service. Our ear and our constant communication is always there. So they know what we offer, and you know, and essentially they know what they need. I can tell you, and I'll give you an example, such as like Pinnacle Logistics. That was a nice location. I think we even had talked about that at one point. They're asking for vending machines to be removed. So, you know, where we think there's just this mass opportunity, these buildings have other ideas, other plans, other thoughts. But what I am seeing is a lot of changes just in food service offerings across the state, buildings that we're in and buildings that we're not in. In fact, I believe I have a meeting or a potential meeting for a